Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We who live in America live in a most blessed land, but there's a good reason for Christians to be concerned about our nation. If our nation is distorted and cursed and despised over the world, and it often is, it may be partially due to our own failures. One of the responsibilities of the Lord's church in uncertain and unstable times is to tell of those things that are certain and changeless. It is our duty to send forth the warnings of God and the admonition that righteousness exalteth a nation and sin is a reproach to any people, Proverbs 14 and verse 34. This is what is intended by this brief lesson, and we solicit the eye and the ear of every honest and knowing person that really does care about the future of our land and our eternity. Before tragedy fell upon the nation of Judah, God's prophet Zephaniah wrote, "She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God." Zephaniah 3 and verse 2. Here is a fourfold indictment against that nation. And while they could hear, they would not listen. They refused to obey. The voice of God was ignored. They were unwilling to accept discipline and correction. They trusted not in God but in other things, even themselves. They did not draw nigh to Him who had so blessed them. Well, whether we are dealing with a person, a city, or a nation, God's truths and God's indictments against sin are the same. Here were a people whose consciences had been seared by the hot iron of rebellion. Their heart was not honest before God. They refused to be taught, having cast away faith in favor of folly. They allowed their relationship to God to deteriorate. Which of these four indictments could be applicable to our own blessed land? Which might be applicable to me or to you as individuals? These four indictments are related rather than totally separated. A good conscience functions when truth has been accepted, and truth, when accepted, produces faith in God. Faith in God is necessary for a proper relationship with God, of course, and it will ignite obedience. Let me put it another way. When the right relationship to God is broken because faith is abandoned, then truth will be denied, and that will allow the conscience to become seared and insensitive. Let us consider these four indictments one by one. First, she obeyed not the voice. Whose voice? Well, God's voice is the one in particular here, but really the people listened to nobody. Here was the hard heart in operation. Some people simply will not pay attention, even to God, and will stand in defiance of the evidence that they cannot refute, but can only ignore it, but they do ignore it. Is there not something wrong with the conscience of many people in our land when they are blinded by the material and sinful gratifications, wallowing in their prejudices, following the wisdom of this world rather than the wisdom of God? The statistics are staggering when reports are made about the immoralities among our population. Now, we will not cite any here because they change so rapidly. But with the increase of sexual sins and crimes and riots and rebellions, the desecration of things holy and sacred, what justification is there to say that America is getting better rather than worse? Do you know that historians tell us that our land is the most immoral and undisciplined people on earth today? There is less respect for authority and the weakest kind of religious faith among the oncoming generation that has ever been in our history. Now, this is to speak generally because there are many individual exceptions. But parents are more permissive, less involved and concerned, they're negligent, they're selfish, materially ambitious, and more than our nation has ever witnessed before. Some are not even concerned and would deny that this is true, but the truth exists, even when those who hate the truth deny it. Wishing truth away and just denying the truth, friend, does not change it. Parents and young people today have the greatest challenges as well as obstacles against doing right than probably in a generation of our history. For this reason, we truly admire those who refuse to bow to evil, even though the proportion of such people in our overall population seems to grow smaller with each decade. With the moral, the political, and religious decay so much in evidence today, there are still those who will say, "Sleep on." Do they care nothing for the oncoming generation? There are some who even would dare call themselves Christians, who lend their support to the very forces, political and educational, they are working steadfastly to undermine and destroy every vestige of the faith of Christ from this life of this nation. America's conscience is not sensitive to sin. The media exploits and advances this insensitivity. And while the moral degradation is extensive, what may even be worse is the willingness of people to accept it and to just live with it and to just go along to get along. We rapidly are becoming a nation where the voice of God is seldom heard above the noises that come from the dens of iniquity. But secondly, she received not instruction. It is not that no instruction was given, but you cannot tell some people anything, anytime, about any subject. They know it all, even if they are heading to their own destruction. Our people are willing to deny truth and reality about God and about morality and about things sacred. They deny the failures, the sins, and the true traditions and conditions of our land. Many reject all discipline, though they cry freedom, when what they really mean is license to sin. They disrespect duly ordained authority on nearly every level, being swelled with self-pride and arrogance against God. Meanwhile, there are others who are like Pilate. They either wash their hands of it and ask, "What is truth?" as if there were no such thing. Many know right from wrong, but they refuse to act accordingly. They, like Jerusalem and Judah of ancient times, smart under the instruction and the exposure of their transgressions. And with sophistication, they dismiss the warnings of God and remain smug rather than sincere. Israel stoned the prophets that were sent to her rather than accept the message that they brought. And so it is often the case today in principle. What preacher who stands truly for truth is warmly received by the masses today? Oh yes, there are those preachers who are warmly received. They are more the servants of the devil, however, seeking their own gain and glory by pleasing their hearers rather than being angels of light they profess to be. How did Herod and Herodias treat John the Baptist when he told them the truth? What did the Jews do to Jesus when he told them the truth? Those kind of people are not all dead, dear friend, and not all of them are outside the church either. But thirdly, she trusted not in the Lord. They said they believed in the Lord, but they lived as if God was dead. They did not abandon their rituals and their ceremonies, even their long flowing robes, which were plentiful among the religionists even today. We might say they went to church, but their true love was the way of the world, not of God. They compromised their faith enough to be comfortable as they were, going their own way, the word of the Lord notwithstanding. Like many today, they paid lip service to God even while their heart was far from Him. Oh, they were religious, but not righteous. In our nation, the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, we say, "One nation under God." And on our money, we read, "In God we trust." We often open ball games with a prayer, and even Congress begins with a prayer. Some want prayer in schools, but the law prohibits it, allowing rather the teaching of anti-God theories to be taught. America has been known in history as the land that trusts in her wealth and in her weapons. There has been much said about America's trust in God. Doubtless this is true of many even yet. Our land was founded by God-fearing people, and our laws reflect their faith in Almighty God. But what must God think as we elect godless leaders and see their revelry and their corruption, as we certainly have done many times? What must God think when we see evidences of greed and lust and sensuality and violence and dishonesty on every hand, and immorality paraded as if it were nothing wrong with it? What must God think of our motto and that which is on our printed money when the ravages of the alcoholic beverage sweep the land and laws are legislated to advance its profitability to its producers and the havoc to its victims relatively ignored? Do we really think God is impressed that America trusts Him? Our nation is a nation that slaughters unborn babies by the thousands every day. And while many openly denounce him and his ways, even some who call themselves believers timidly and passively sit idly by, well, why should he continue to bless America? And the fourth indictment was, she drew not near to her God. Because Jerusalem had seared her conscience and silenced her prophets, rebelled in corruption, denied the truth, abandoned faith, it came eventually to that last step of severing relationship with God altogether. Communication with God is a two-way street. God speaks to man by and through His inspired and all-sufficient Word, the Bible. Mankind speaks to God through prayer. How shall we stand if we cut our tie with God in both personal and national life? How shall we avoid impending ruin that our enemies seek if we reject the only power, strength, and hope that we have, who is the God of righteousness? Our recovery and survival depends upon our waking from our spiritual slumber and stupor and indifference and return to God. We must establish again our ties with God, our trust in God, the acceptance of His corrections and instructions, and obey His voice. Friend, the need of our day is to come to Christ, one by one, in obedience to the gospel and conformity to His will in daily life. Do you agree? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.